Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just let him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. When I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sun shine through, then a voice seems to say, child, there'll be a brighter day. Don't allow the storm to sweep, sweet heavens, you. 'Cause you got one more valley, one more hill. You got one more trial, one more tear. One more curve in last road, one more mile left to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Don't let Satan see your tears. Learn to smile away your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way. 'Twill be worth it all someday. For it will be over after a while. 'Cause you got one more valley, one more hill. You got one more mile, one more weir, one more curve in last road, one more mile left to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Don't let Satan see your tears. Learn to smile away your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way. 'Twill be worth it all someday. For it all will be over after a while. 'Cause you got one more valley, one more hill. You got one more trial, one more tear. One more curve in life's road, one more mile left to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home. 'Cause you got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more trial, one more tear. One more curve in life's road, one more mile left to go.
You can lay down your heavy load when you get home.
That's why we were in the fight. One more mile to go. It's not over yet. In the meantime, you got to be in the fight. Mm-hmm. People don't know that there's a fight to be fought, you know? Mm-hmm. You got to be overcomer. And shady green pastures, rich and sweet, God lead his dear children along. Where the river that cool
blow bids the weary ones heed,
God lead his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all. And in the night season, and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God lead his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gave the song. In the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and evils oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity near, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gave the song. In the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all. In the night season and all the day long. Keine wird zu schanden, weil Herr Gott es Ort sollt ich seiner Anstede zu schanden war. Nein, es ist unmöglich, du getreuer Ort, eher fällt der Himmel, ist ich dein Wort. Du hast zugesagt, wer da bittet nimmt, bear the suits of pain and the rising God bestain. Bear in fest and gloven, multi-club fellow, there built on its life a lengthy of Cape Town. None so Felix Wagen, heir of dying gable, all in mine sorrow and ignorance from day note. All mine heimly greymen, all as was me quill, dear ans herz zu legen, der die Tränen sieht. Du bist mein Erbarmer und mein bester Freund, meines Lebens Sonne, der mir lacht und scheint. Auch in finstern Nächten und durch Todes Tag, mir hinüber leuchten zu des Lammes Mann. But until then my heart will go on singing, until then with joy I'll carry on, until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. But until then my heart will go on singing, until then with joy I'll carry on, until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. But until then my heart will go on singing, until then with joy I'll carry on, until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
I don't know how anybody can think when you sing these songs, eh? And how anybody can think that all you have to do is do some kind of a commune and then live happily ever after. It's just like that man from Forest River Colony said, it's deception. That whole compound thing is deception. I've done a lot of extensive studying in that. There was a time I was convinced that's the way to happen, but it's not compatible with these songs, see? You got to be in the fight. That's what you and I are about. We've been in the fight forever today, trying to expose the things that's the deception that we're in. We're living in a world of tremendous deception. If you quit fighting, if you're in the fight, you'll see it. You see exactly what I'm talking about. But you can't think that just because you go through this this false, diabolical, satanic, deceptive baptism, then you got a ticket to glory. It don't work that way, because we had a man come to our house. I'll forever cherish that. He just confirmed what I already knew in my heart. He just kind of hammered in it. That's not the way to happen. That's first-class deception. And he had to die to come back and tell us that. Just like that rich man was begging Abel and sent somebody. Please, please send somebody back to my people and tell them this is wrong. And that's what God did. He sent that guy back. But see, it was exactly like Abraham told him. Hey, they got Moses and the prophet. They got the word. If they don't hear the word, neither will they listen if somebody comes back from the dead. And that's exactly what happened. The guy came back from the dead, told the hunter right that thing is deception. What did they do? They go back in the cesspool and try to make it work. If it don't work, we'll make it work. And but I heard him. My ears picked it up, but I just took it and ran with it. And now it's a tremendous benefit to us, knowing that somebody came back from the dead and told exactly what we've been trying to say here all along. It's deception. It's garbage. He spit the rhythm on people and all these Yakavuta people. They were just doing exactly what the devil always has done. When God does something, he puts beside him like a carbon copy. And that's what they did. Martin Luther came to just to live by faith. They come up with this legalistic community style living. Just a phony thing. It's not real.
That's what rituals are. Rituals are just being passed down from generation to generation and traditions. And people think, my grandparents did that, and it must be good, and I will continue to do it. But they never stop long enough and inquire of God. What does God require of this generation?
That's why you and I, we're about the Lord's business. We don't do our own thing. We're guided by that word. Mm-hmm. That's just that simple. And at the end of the day, it's that word that's going to set the record straight. It's got the final say-so. It's the word of God. And you and I, we're living by it. And that, you see, the other day the Lord gave you a scripture. You know what it is? Because, we don't do our own thing. We've learned over the years to allow ourselves to be led and guided by the Spirit, by the Spirit of the living God. We use that word to line us up. And then from time to time, the Lord will give us a scripture. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We're doing it because the Lord puts a scripture in our heart that we were blessed because early on as a Christian, when we can't believe it, the Lord moved on us to read the Bible. I've saturated ourselves with the Bible, and we still to this day, I read the Bible through every year because I got this program on my phone here where you read two or three chapters every day, and by the time and in the year is, you've read the Bible through every year. And I've been doing that for forever and a day. And you got to saturate yourself with the Word because the Lord speaks to you and I through the Word. That's how we operate. We don't do our own thing. We don't go to a seminar or go listen to some 600-year-old servant to guide us. We're guided on a daily basis by the Word of God.
So in Matthew 25, I'll just read over the parable that Jesus talks about, the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And that's the scripture the Lord gave me. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Da sprach der Herr zu ihm, ei, du frommer und getreuer Knecht, du bist über wenigem getreu gewesen, ich will dich über viel setzen, gehe ein zu deines Herrn Freude.
That's a very blessed scripture to get, because the Lord spoke to you, into your spirit, into your heart. We're guided by the Word, and the Lord saw, he'd been seeing our lives, he sees how we live, eh? And we keep each other in line. I can't go out there and say something I'm not practicing. I'm like for you, you're you got a practically a perfect record, you know. And we've, all your life, you've been wanting this God, you've been wanting to be led by the Spirit of the God, you've been wanting to be led by the Word, and the Lord set it up, such a thing. Now here we are, doing the only thing that the Lord wants us to do. But see, we need each other to keep each other in check, because I can't say things when you, and you're here, and you know I'm doing ecstasy. I'm doing the opposite and same with you. I watch your life. I watch how you live. You kept yourself clean and pure and undefiled for the things of this world, and you have only one passion, that it's to be about the Lord's business. We're not just some fly-by-night, and I need you to keep me in check, and we need each other to keep each other in check, because it's just simply the way it works. It's not a one-man show. Like, you get a lot of people, they're out there by themselves, and we don't know how their lifestyle is, but here, I know how your lifestyle is. Your lifestyle is above reproach, and like we're singing that song, I got one more mile to go. I'm not quite there yet where you are. I'll just be honest. I still got some battles that I have to fight, and my battle is with food. I got to overcome that food thing. Well, you overcame it already. That's why the Lord gave you that scripture. Well done, my good and faithful servant. As far as I'm concerned, you're ready. You're ready to go and get out of here, and because you've done everything up to everything that the Lord required of you, you've done it right to the T. And like I say, we keep each other in check. And I can't find you're a natural person, but you overcome all these things. It's a very different situation. A lot of people think we're crazy, but we're not. We're living by the Word of God, and just because people out there, they don't live by the Word of God, then of course we're crazy, because it's such a big contrast. That's all we're trying to live above board here. We can, like I say, we keep each other in check, and then the Lord gives you this scripture. Up till now, He's saying to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Like I say, He can't say that to me yet, because I've got one more mile to go. I got another curve in life's road. I'll just be honest with you. And my problem is my appetite, and that's one thing I got to I got to work on it yet. And it's better when you're younger, you know what I'm trying to say. When you get younger, you got a lot more willpower. Back in the day, I was nothing to just in a heartbeat, I could fast for a week or 3 days, and there's 3 times already in my life I fasted for 40 days. But now when you get old, it's a different ball game. It's a little tougher. But like I say, I still got to fight it. Heavenly Father, we just read your word, Lord. I just pray you continue to do with us as you see fit, Lord. Help us to be overcomers in the world that we're now living in, Lord. We're living in the perilous times. Evil all around us, a world of madness and deception, Lord. And here you've honed us out, given us the responsibility to hold on to the truth for the church here to Laodicea. Hold on to that ministry that Brother Brenham brought and the Brother Jex brought through that angelic host, or that one of those seven angels that you said in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And all we're doing, Lord, we're just trying to hold on to the fort, trying to keep it alive, Lord. We just pray you continue to do with us as you see fit. Help us to be overcomers in this world that we're now living in, Lord, so that we can receive our full reward. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You see that back in the day, we're in a very unique position, you and I. Back in the day, when I was still in that compound and my father-in-law, I was going up against that system and exposing them for who they really are. And then my father-in-law, they don't like to hear the truth. And he came in, and one evening he was just standing there in the doorway, and he said, tomorrow I'm coming here, and it's after tomorrow morning, if you don't recant. You know, that's what they did back in the dark age. They told the Christians, if you don't recant, they gave them a chance to recant. They wanted them to deny the truth. Well, he said, if you don't recant, by tomorrow morning I'm coming over here, and you don't have a wife, you don't have any children, you got nothing. Well, I said, I've decided to follow Jesus, and you'll only do what the Lord allows you to do. If the Lord allows it, it'll work for my benefit. And the next day he came over, and he just terminated me, and got everybody to sign me out, got everybody that, and they called to sign a paper and sign me out. And I told him, whatever you do to me, it'll work for my benefit. And I was thinking about that the other day, how it actually it has worked for my benefit. Look at the benefits we had. One of the hardest things for me was to overcome that Hutterite, that food habit. You know, the food that they have. That was a tough nut for me. You know, it worked for my benefit, God, and I had an opportunity to overcome all that food thing. And then there's another thing. There's three things that Satan's powerful weapon, and one of the most powerful weapons is religion. I got out of these religious households. He cesspools of religion, and the last one was the religion that I got pulled out of was Grace and Truth. These people down there at Faith Assembly and Grace and Truth, they don't know that they're just another synagogue of Satan. But see, the Lord got me out of there, like I told my father, it'll work for my benefit. And everything in the last 30, 40 years, everything has worked for my benefit because it has helped me to be an overcomer in the day and hour we're living in. And then once I left, once the Lord took me out of Grace and Truth, 2 weeks later, he got me to pick you up. And then, like I say, I'm so grateful that the Lord brought you on board because without you, I was done. I was finished. And then the Lord brings you aboard. Now we can fight this fight together and we keep each other in check. It's working. Now it's both working for our benefit. And then so much that you got that scripture from the Lord, well done, my good and faithful servant. See, we watch each other. We keep each other in check. And you know, and I know, you know that I still got problems with an appetite. And you know it better than I do because we watch each other and we keep each other in check. We're not some fly-by-night that just showed up here, decided that's what we're going to do. We're led and guided by the Word of God. I went up against that Hutterite hierarchy because it was not compatible with the Word of God. I was reading my Bible every year for the last 40 years. I'm saturated with the Word of God, and if you saturate yourself with the Word of God, pretty soon the Word of God takes effect in you and your life, and you either are going to be a hypocrite, and like a lot of people are, or you're going to try to live your best to live by the Word of God. That's why you and I are here where we are, because of the Word of God. If you didn't have a desire and a passion for the Word of God, and if you didn't live what you preach, then the Lord would have not put us together. But like I say, you're the only person that I'm compatible with. You're the only person that's willing and able and has a desire and a passion to live for the Lord. It's just that simple, especially here in these closing days of time. Where are you going to find anybody? You look around, put your radar. Where are you going to find a girl when she's 17, 18 years old that she's asked by her brother, so Lorraine, what are you going to do with your life? And you tell them, I'm going to see what the Lord has for me. And then how many girls will you find that'll do that? And then you did just that. And that's why you and I, we're here fighting the fight. We're on this journey. And then the Lord comes down and he gives you a scripture, well done, my good and faithful servant. And like I say, I'm not there yet. I wish he could have given it to me, but he knows my heart. He knows I'm not there yet. He knows I'm battling with certain things yet that I have to overcome. I'm just being honest, you know. It's no use trying to be a hypocrite and saying one thing and then doing another. You know and I know that I'm still fighting with that appetite thing, with the food thing. And
I was sitting here the other day and I was thinking about, it just came to me, like the things that God has showed me throughout life. Let's say religion, what God has showed me about religion, and you expose it for what it really is, what religion is, and you also that God sent a prophet to let people know that God sent a prophet, Malachi 4, he sent that prophet to turn our hearts back to the Bible, to turn us back to the Word of God. And the things that God has showed me in my life, we are able to tell people. And in that, it's not about going out and making a name for yourself, writing a book and having your shelf full of books that you wrote. in the end of the day, all that will not matter. Only what God has allowed you to see and what you've allowed God to do through you. Otherwise, it's all dung. Like Paul said, it's nothing but dung. And that's what, in the end of the day, like the parable that Jesus spoke of here, he gave all of his servants a certain talent. Mm-hmm. Some he gave five, some he two, and some one. And those that had five went out and accumulated five more. And the one that had two, he accumulated two more. And the one that had one, he decided he's going to go and dig a hole in the ground and bury it. So when God showed him something and then allowed him to see something, that he decided he's just going to bury it and not do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like when God let me see what religion is, and I would just say to myself, you know what, that's nothing. I'll just keep on being a religion. And therefore, that's burying your talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do not tell people and warn them what religion is all about. And that God sent the prophet in this day and age, in the Laodicea church hour, with a message.
Mm-hmm.
There came a man, the messenger to the age, to bring us a message and a pathway to God.
Mm-hmm.
To show us that pathway to God. And in it, if you're found faithful to that, God is going to one day say, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. See, that's what God is going to say at the end of the day when you have been found faithful to the talents that God has given you. And if you don't, and you bury it, and you're not going to be found faithful. Like Paul, it says here, just to let you know, it says in 2 Timothy 1, and I'll start in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, which saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. See, that's what Paul was called for. He was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. And because he's doing the work of God in it, he's suffering. He's being afflicted by the enemy and by people who do not want the work of God to go ahead. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him that against that day. So Paul was faithful in all that God allowed him to see. And you can read it in his epistles. And at the end of the day, he could say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. And that's all we want to hear one day. Thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. See, if you hide that talent, what God allows you to see and has walked through, then you're not going to be found faithful. See, people, they think they can go out and do a great thing, and at the end of the day, it doesn't amount to anything. Like, there's one lady, she had an experience, and out of the body experience, and she was before God, and then all of her life work was before her. God brought it, all her life works before her, and there are certain things that she thought in this life that she did a great thing, and she thought, this is a great thing that I've done for the Lord. And then God did not even look at that. Mm-hmm. There was minute things, she said, that I didn't even think of as anything. That God exalted it because in it he was glorified. That's how humanity looks at things in a way that's very deceptive. They think when they have this mega church and they have these crowds of people and work up their emotions, that's doing God a service. But the end, Paul said, it all be like dung. Mm-hmm. Because it's not to glorify God. Usually when God gets the glory, the natural man is put to shame. Mm-hmm. And there is no glory for him. And that's why a lot of people, they find it so difficult to work for God, because in it the natural man cannot find anything to glorify himself. Mm-hmm. Because all the glory goes to God, and the natural man feels like he is made a fool of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works in the economy of God. When you are called to do something, like I said here, And I was able to say that I told people what God has allowed me to experience and to see in my life, and I was faithful to that. And then in the evening, the Lord gave me that scripture, and that I read over in Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.
Hey, that's what the Lord spoke to your heart, to your mm-hmm. spirit. He might as well, it says over there, but he's saying it right here, because you went through your life. You did exactly right to the T, everything that God has revealed to you. You put it out there and you're speaking on it. You do everything that God requires of you. Now he can truly say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're not making it up. It's the God of heaven. He came down. So you took the inventory of your life, and you're working over it, and you, to the best of your ability, you did everything that you knew to do to bring glory to the Lord. Now he comes down and he tells you, well done, my good and faithful servant. And like I'm saying, the proof's in the pudding. You take that, these people that come through here, you take that Ken, that Dr. Bell Ken, yeah. I drove with him for 3 years. He came to convention with me and everything. And then the Lord spoke right out of heaven. Right then, like I was saying the other day, we went into the air show, and the Lord spoke right to his spirit. Ken, all you got to do, the only job description, just go stand with Sam. There's the bride of Christ. Just go stand with him. That's all the job description. And like I said the other day, for about 2-3 years, he was a tremendous asset. Like, yeah, he's got his hang-ups and his problems and all that. But see, then one day he came and told me, Sam, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go see if I can find any garbage about you. And he completely forgot what the Lord had told him. Kent, all you got to do, the only job description you have to do, just go stand with Sam, and then one day if you do that, that's all God requires of him, because he didn't have no upbringing. His dad was nothing, he was less than nothing, and God looks at these things, and he doesn't require of him what he requires of you and I, and he knows that, but all you got to do, you just go stand with Sam, and I'll take care of the rest. And he couldn't even do that. He turns his back on what God told him. And the same with that Jeremy. He came here and he told me what the Lord wants for him to do. Just like he told back there when he cast that, back in the, when Jesus was walking through Galilee there. And he healed this one guy, drove the demons out of him. And then he wanted to follow him. And the Lord told him, don't you stay here. And you go out there and you tell the people the glorious thing that the Lord did for you. And that's all your job description you have. And he did that faithfully. Next year, Jesus came back and he had that whole township converted to Christianity. That one man there. And that's all that required of that Jeremy. He came through here and he got the devil cast out of him. And he was on his way to glory. Then he said, Jeremy, what are you going to do? Oh, I think I'll go back and tell the people exactly what happened to me here. And he goes and he's barely out the door here. He makes a 180 and he does exactly the opposite. he goes out there and sees how he can bring glory to himself. And just like you said, there's no glory in yourself if you're about the Lord's business. If you do what the Lord wants you to do. All the Lord required of that man, go back and tell the people that you come out what happened to you. And he couldn't do that because, like you were saying, it doesn't bring glory to his name. And before he knows it, he's back in the gutter again, way worse than he ever was. And about 2 months later, I seen him, and I told him what his job description was. All you gotta do, Jeremy, is go tell people what happened to you. Oh, I don't think I can do that. See, there's no glory in it for him. That's why he couldn't do it. Because we pray, Lord, use us for your glory. We don't want no recognition. We just want, at the end of the day, to be heard, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all we care about. We don't care about what they do to us. They can kill us 10 times over if they want to. But see, that's not where it's at. Where it's at, if you can do something here in life to bring glory to his name, that's the job description the Lord gave you and I, to hold on to the things that have been taught and the church world of Laodicea, that's what we're doing. Anyone moved on us to go and expose these religious systems. That's why I say Satan has 2 very powerful weapons in his arsenal. One of the most important powerful weapon is religion. It wasn't until the Lord cut me completely out of this religious system, out of these churches, out of these synagogues of Satan, because that's all grace and truth is. That's all faith assembly. Synagogues, they've evolved into synagogues of Satan. And they'll do everything they can to try to destroy what rejects out. And like I said, it wasn't until the Lord took me out of grace and truth, and then 2 weeks later he told me to pick you up, and that we're about the Lord's business. We've been on a roll ever since, like one big long honeymoon. And like I told my father-in-law, everything that you do to me is going to work for my benefit. And like I say, when I look back, definitely I was not a happy camper, but when I look back, it was all to my benefit. And like I say, through all that, the Lord started a work to get me out of these religious, I call them religious cesspools, religious hellholes. That's all they are, because at the end of the day, when everything is said and done, you're going to see that the Satan is using these religions and these communes and all that stuff to deceive the people. What good is it other than a cesspool if the devil is using it to deceive you? It's all it is, a cesspool. And through that, my father-in-law terminating me from that thing, it worked for my benefit, because now I'm free from this religion. And the next powerful weapon he had is sex. Satan uses sex everywhere you turn to. You turn your iPhone on, there's women. There's Satan out there parading his sex object. And then, like I say, he's got 2 powerful weapons in his arsenal. One is his religion, and the other one is spiritual adultery, and the other is physical adultery. Sex and religion, they walk hand in hand. And see, by him terminating me, that sex chapter for me was completely over. And it worked for my benefit. Now, you and I, we're about the Lord's business. We don't have to get involved in that sex thing. We don't have to be involved in religion. We're completely free to be about the Lord's business. Sure, it took us practically a lifetime to get to where we are today, but now we can truly say we're free from that. All that junk and all that stuff is in the rearview mirror. You and I, we're not in the reproductive program, because that sex for pleasure, that was instituted by Satan back in the garden. I've said it over and over again. God gave Adam and Eve a commission. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. He said it 2-3 times while they were still in the spirit. And he so told it the very same law he gave to the animal kingdom. But see, the difference between man and animal, Adam was given 2 things by which to be fruitful and multiply. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was sex for pleasure, and the other one was the tree of the life, which was sex for reproductive purposes only. The animal kingdom is still out there doing their thing because they were only given one law. But see, God didn't want no robot, so he gave mankind a system to choose. Now you choose, Adam, which one you're gonna use to be fruitful and multiply with. And give them 2 laws. One law was, like I say, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sex for pleasure, and the tree of the life, which was sex for reproduction purpose only. Everything has to make sense in God. But see, like I say, God did not want no robots. He put this thing out there. Now, mankind can choose to live for God. And you and I, when you came up to a certain age, you decided you want to see what God has for you. You didn't want to go down that merge pad and all that stuff. You took inventory of everything, and you looked at it, and the same with me. I decided I saw the direction that Hutter right thing goes, and if you stay in that Hutter right calling, and let's say you someday become preacher, and then someday you become an elder, what they call an elder, what it is, it's a pope, you just become another pope, and all you ever would become, you know, the only potential that you can ever achieve is to become a J. Kleinshauser number two. That's all that thing can produce. Just another J. K. number two. That's what it set up for me. And I look at that path. I look down that road. There's nothing in there. And then if that's all that thing can produce, it can just produce another heart right. Mm-hmm. And now by God's grace, he got me out of there. Now we're about the Lord's business. And someday, you know, we're faithful to the end. He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the only thing that you and I are living for. We're not looking for a name. And we're not looking for fame. We're not looking for money, because we don't charge nobody money. It's free. I mean, we're doing everything for free. We were trucking for 7 years. We saved up some money, and then we put some investments in it, and now that's what we're living from. That's what produces. That's where we get the money to buy this laser printer here. That's where we get the money to send these books out. That's all that we're doing. Everything that we have saved up, we're free to do. We prefer to use it for the Lord's glory. We don't give him 10%. We give him 100% of our whole being and our whole physical thing. And like I keep saying over and over again, that's the only way to can really say thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. Mm-hmm. Like the song says, I can only repay a little bit for what he did for us at Calvary. We were lost and undone. We had no hope. We were finished. And then the Lord took it upon himself to come down and to die for us at Calvary. Went to Calvary, and he can go back. And everybody had to go through there at Calvary. And that's all we're doing. We're just trying a little bit. Lord, use us for your honor, for your glory. Like I say, that's really the only way we can say thank you. And I know there's a lot of people listening to us, but see, the only job these scriptures, they have, the ones that are listening to us, is to go out and tell somebody. That's all, the only job description he has. Just like he told that Ken, and like he told that Jeremy, just go stand with Sam, and then at the end of the day, if you do that, I'll classify you as you've been a good and faithful servant. That's exactly what you're doing. You're standing, we're standing together with each other, and that God, that's all God requires of you here in life. Just go stand for the truth that's been given to you. Do the things that God has showed you to do. And these people out there, they listen to us for a month or two, and then they look at it, they observe it, and they pick it in, and then see they're unfaithful. God would not be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We would have hundreds that'll support us if they only come through and do what the Lord requires of me. Go stand with Sam and Lorraine. I told you the other day what happened down at that Heartland Colony. They refused to stand with Sam. They did exactly the opposite. And they did everything they can to smear me. And now see what they got now. They got their shop burned down where they're manufacturing it burned down. And now their kitchen is burned down. Everything that they do, it's all in vain. And at the end of the day, it all goes up in smoke anyway. Simply because they refuse to move on with the Lord. They know. I went down to the Supreme Court with them. And I told him there's going to be three courts. J.K. is going to win the first two, and you guys are going to win the second. The third one, the Supreme Court. And that's exactly what happened. They knew that I was not some fly by night. But see, there was no glory in it for them. That old Danny, he wanted the glory for himself. He couldn't wait to get himself so puffed up, and he thought he's just another Jacob Hutter and all that garbage. And that's why he couldn't accept the thing that I told. I told him it's all about Jesus. It's all about God sending a prophet. It's all about this end time message. He didn't want it, and then they decided they're going to do the wrong thing, go back into the Hutterite Club again, and then what they got? Everything they did do, all the work they do, at the end of the day, they got nothing. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because if you don't do it, usually, like Paul said, he suffered for these things. He suffered for the sake of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we are where we're at, because we're suffering for the sake of Christ, for the truth. And not that you suffer like naturally, but it's just people shun you. They put you in their synagogue, out of their synagogues, mm-hmm. and stuff, things like that, just like they did in the days of Jesus. When people followed Jesus, they put you out of their synagogues. But that's all right. Paul said here he's not ashamed of the things that he's suffering for the sake of Christ.
Amen to that. We're just about the Lord's business. People can come on board. They can support us. And you're not going anywhere. You can listen to us 24/7. You're not going anywhere until you're willing to put your life on the line and come and openly tell people, I'm supporting Sam and Lorraine, and you guys can go fly a kite. You're going to find out. If you don't do that, you're just going to end up where that cat is. Now he's got all kinds of diseases, and that Jeremy, God only knows where that guy is at. Because they're not going anywhere. They didn't do what the Lord required of them. And then God lets them just drift out like a piece of driftwood. I told him when he was here last time, you're like a piece of driftwood. You know what a driftwood is like? It only goes as far as the water takes it. And it gets stuck in the bushes, and then along comes a little bit of a rain, and it goes a little further. That's the way people are that are not connected to the Lord, that are not doing what the Lord requires of them. See, when the Lord came to you and he showed you what you need to do, you did exactly that, and you put it out there like you brought us the tundras, where the tundras are at, and all these things. And then he gave us the midnight cry and the seventh seal, all these things, because we were faithful. And what does God do? Because we're faithful to the little thing, we put it out there, and he just keeps piling it on. And then he gives us the revelation, let us know exactly where we are at time, right to the day. See, he's doing exactly, I'll set you in charge over a lot. That's what he done. He gave you the information about the seven thunders, when they happened, and then he moved on, and he gave us the revelation of the seventh seal, and things like that. All is sound doctrine that we're telling the people here. We're not some fly by night. And we just wish and hope people, all they gotta do, I'm gonna stand with them because they're same LRM, because their stuff is legit. Their stuff is via the scriptures. That's all we're asking for people. We don't want no pat on the back. We don't even want to know people. All you gotta do is go out there, do exactly what the book of Revelation says to him that heareth. If you can hear what we're saying, you go and tell. To him that heareth, let him say, come. Come to the merry supper of the Lamb. And if you're faithful to that, believe you me, God will see to it that you end up at the merry supper of the Lamb. You won't have to go through this tribulation. You won't have to go through the day of the Lord, because God is faithful. You look at our lives, how faithful he has been, how he has led us on from glory to glory. And we've got nothing but good things to say about the Lord. He's been good to us. Even though, yeah, you're shunned, you go to your persecute, you fight the flesh, the natural man. See what the Lord did, he put the spirit, and we're made of spirit, soul, and body. And now he put the spirit and the soul into this piece of characters that we're, now he expects you and I to overcome the flesh. That's what we're doing. That's our daily battle, like I say. I'm not quite there yet. I wish I could overcome that appetite thing, but I'm working at it. I'm a lot better than I used to be. But see, that's part of the fight. He told Paul. Paul was griping about himself. There's some things he couldn't overcome. And the Lord came to him and said, Paul, let my grace is sufficient for you. At the end of the day, I'm going to see that you're going to make it. And that's all we're hoping for. He's going to somehow the Lord will find us faithful and true, like he gave you that scripture. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And over the years, he has added on to that because you went out and you told people. You did exactly what the Lord required of you. You came and stood for truth, the things that the Lord had showed you. And that's all that God requires of us. Just be faithful to what he has given us to see here in his closing days of time.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. We give you thanks for another day of life, for all your blessings, Lord. For a home, for a car, and everything you've done for us, for giving us your word, Lord, in this end time, the word of truth for the time we're living in. We just give you thanks for that. And we just pray, Lord, that we'll hear you say on that great day, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over few things, and He's going to set you ruler over many, and enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And that's our heart's desire, to hear that, not to make a name for ourselves, but to hear you one day say, "Thou good and faithful servant, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen."